as I wrap up 15 years on the radio, you know what song comes to mind? It's Life is a Highway. And my thoughts now when I'm going to be off the air is I'm going to ride it all night long, right? I mean, this is one of those things where...
Hey, brother, you're going to... You owe me a couple of bucks for that.
Hi.
It's Tom Cochran calling.
Oh, my God.
A happy retirement. Just to say that, aside from owing me a couple of bucks for that one, you can, you're too young to retire, brother. Great job out there with your supplemental.
Well, there we are, everybody.
Your opinions, and that's good, man. It's, that it's bad that you're retiring. And I was the first red carpet that you were... working and at the Walk of Fame, and I was inducted to the Walk of Fame, so one of your first interviews in this capacity. So man, it comes full circle.
It is. Well, no, it'll be full circle when you're interviewing me about my Walk of Fame induction, which won't happen. That's not going to happen. We know. But everybody, listen, Tom Cochran, fellow Manitoban, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going. I'm not going to lie, Jeremy. These are. Strange times, and they're testing our resolve. Our sector, of course, has been hit really hard, the music sector. And I really enjoy playing live, as so many of my compatriots and friends do. And it's been tough on us, and hopefully we're going to be able to get back to it someday soon. But, with that said, I've got... can you believe it? The 40th anniversary is as far as I am, which Lunatic Fringe is on. And so I guess Universal's going to release that in the fall. And hopefully we'll be able to do some shows off that at that point. Who knows yet?
Yeah.
But, and also we're going to, that's going to be in conjunction with the 35th anniversary of the Tom Cochran Red Rider album, which of course has Boy Inside the Man on it and Untouchable One and bunch of those songs. So looking forward to that. I've been writing, doing a lot of writing and up north and doing a lot of fat tire biking on snowy trails and muddy trails and icy trails and to stay in shape. And it's been like everybody, we're hoping that we can get back to some semblance of normalcy someday soon, right?
I mean, that's the thing. All the artists have had to do this whole streaming performance thing. But, I mean, I'm sure you can attest that there's nothing like a live crowd right there in front of you, though.
No. And it gets irritating, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Just inundated with requests to do, virtual concerts.
Sure.
You can only do so many things in your living room and in your home studio where, you set up your... iPhone on a stand or tape it to a broomstick that you got hiked up in the corner and do a performance. I'm joking around, of course. My setup's a little more elaborate than that, but I mean exactly. That it just does not replace live at all.
But it's interesting, Bjerg, because artists from my generation, your generation, I mean, you're used to having to slug it out, right? And go town to town, show to show, bar to bar. And today's artists who basically have grown up in the YouTube age or Facebook or whatever, I mean, they almost have that instant audience right there. So, I mean, the struggles of having to really hustle to get noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the landscape has changed, but to a certain degree in terms of how you get out there and you promote yourself, and the streaming thing has changed the playing field a lot, obviously. But you know what? The bands still have to get out there, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I think what's changed a lot is the internet's broken down barriers. So my son-in-law, for instance, out of New Jersey, was in a band called The Drowners, and they'd go to Europe and they'd end up sleeping on people's couches and that, and then those people would come back to the United States or Canada and they'd sleep on other people's couches. So the networking like that has become pretty comprehensive with a lot of these kids, and they pay their dues. I mean, don't kid yourself. It's still about live. It's still about getting out there. And even though some guy might be a VJ or DJ, I should say, and he might be doing EDM music, it's still about people getting together and celebrating the music in that live venue, and it's still about packing up in those rugged hours in a van and in a tour bus or a station wagon like we did. The kids are still doing that stuff, and there's no way around it. Music is about live. It's a big part of what we all do as musicians, and that part of it hasn't changed. I think these kids are still paying their dues. You know.
Let me just segue into this. Is it true? Do you have a highway in Manitoba? What, did I see that on the news a few years ago?
Yeah, there's a highway that was named after me, after my song actually. Life is a Highway, Highway, which goes from Thompson, Manitoba, up to my hometown where I was born, Lynn Lake. And it's quite a long highway. It's 391, and I forget how many kilometers, but it's a couple of hundred kilometers up there. So I was really very honored, and that was relatively the same period that I got inducted into invested in the Manitoba,
mm-hmm.
The Order of Manitoba. So I was very, very proud of that in particular. But the highway was quite an honor.
Okay, so next logical question, and don't worry, no one's listening to this. Have you just ripped down that stretch? I mean, do you just go? If there's one road you should be allowed to speed on, it's that one. Have you done it, Tom? Don't lie.
That one. Could be master of ceremonies there, Jeremy. We could have maybe we should do a car rally for charity. You know, that stretch from Thompson up to Lynn Lake, you know, and we'd film the whole thing, and it'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, let's then talk about some of those honors you mentioned about Manitoba. We met at Canada's Walk of Fame. What does that mean for you as a musician, you know, as a recording artist, as a storyteller, as a Canadian, to get these different kinds of honors in your career?
Well, I've always kind of wanted to do the music for the sake of doing the music. So when we started out, when I started out with Red Rider, you know, and we get nominated for a Juno, I mean, it got to a point there, I think we were nominated 11 or 12 times before we actually won a Juno. So it kind of forced us to kind of be realistic and be, you know, we're kind of a blue-collar band, and we put all the emphasis on our fans and on playing the music and kind of downplay the awards. But I'm not going to lie to you, you know, it means a lot to me. The Order of Manitoba, being an officer of the Order of Canada, you know, Walk of Fame and these things in the Hall of Fame, Canadian Music Hall of Fame. It means a lot. You know, it's nice to be acknowledged by your peers and by the public, and you know, definitely it's something that I'm very, very proud of, that history, and you know, I'm very, very proud Canadian, as you know, and mm-hmm. a proud Manitoban. So it's nice to get those accolades and that. But still, the emphasis, when I stand out in front of an audience, you know, or somebody comes up to me and they say, you know, Life's a Highway or Big League got me through some really tough times. You know, boy, that in itself is like getting an award. The satisfaction of knowing that you helped somebody get through some tough times because your music inspired them a little bit, that means a lot. And that, and also being asked to present Gordon Lightfoot or the Lifetime Achievement Award at the SoCan Awards or, you know, those things mean a lot to me. It's, you know, there's a guy who I look up to who inspired me starting out. Hopefully I inspired a lot of young artists. And so I'm very, very honored and flattered to be asked to present awards to people that I've looked up to and that have inspired me in my career. That almost is as good as getting an award myself.
What would you say was the biggest struggle? Actually, let me ask this two ways. What was the biggest struggle, and what was the biggest reward, the biggest payoff that you had?
Oh, boy. The biggest struggle, I mean, of course, is getting started, you know, getting a record contract, getting that first record out there and trying to decide. You know, I remember my dad, who was always the ultimate hero to me. I looked up to my dad, and I said, Dad, am I doing the right thing? And this is just on the cusp of White Hot kicking in, and yeah, I was going through a lot of soul searching whether this was worth it, because as we talked, there's all those times sleeping in a station wagon. I mean, we didn't have money for hotels every night, so we roughed it pretty good. And he said, no, I think you're crazy to do it. I think you're crazy to be doing this, when I asked him, you know, do you think I should be doing this? And he said, but it's not up to me. It's up to you, son. He said, they thought I was crazy when I got out of World War II and I wanted to be a pilot to make a living. You know, I could have gone to Burns Meats in Winnipeg and maybe fast-tracked as an executive there, but he said, I wanted to be a pilot. They all thought I was crazy. And he said, I don't have any regrets. So he said, don't have any regrets. Just give it 150%. Promise me that. And know when it's time to get out. So we released that first record, and of course, White Hot did what it did. And that song led to the next record, and Lunatic Fringe, and did what it did, and so on. And you're always on contract, though, buddy. You've always got to prove yourself. So every record, you're proving yourself. The next period was when we left management, left Bruce Allen, and the band sort of fragmented, and we kind of, like the Phoenix Rising from the Dust came out of that, and Capitol supported us, and so did what became Live Nation. CPI became Live Nation, and they supported us on the next tour, and that was the Tom Cochran Red Rider album with Four Inside the Man, which I mentioned the 35th anniversary this year. So, you know, I've been very blessed, and it takes a lot of perseverance, but it takes quite a bit of luck too, Jeremy, and I've had both. I've been very lucky. I've had a lot of help from some great people who believed in me, and I try to be grateful about that every day, and I'm really lucky to be able to make a living at my hobby. Again, something my dad told me, you know, he said, if you can make a living at your hobby, then God's smiling on you. So I've been lucky to do that, because it's, you know, he once said about flying airplanes, he says, I have the best office in the world, you know, and that's the way I feel when I get on stage and I'm able to put smiles on people's faces and have them sing those songs, man, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world, you know.
Well, I mean, and again, here's hoping that that can happen again soon. I mean, you know, maybe this summer. I mean, that's sort of sketchy, but sometime soon, if we're all optimistic and we follow those rules that they set out for us, I think it'll happen sooner than later.
Yeah. And if they get the darn vaccines out to us quicker, you know, we've got to, you know, we've got some shows towards the end of the summer. We've actually moved some PAC dates, unfortunately, into February from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some shows that we're still hanging on to at the end of the summer and into the early fall. So hopefully we'll be able to get those shows in. And, you know, we were supposed to celebrate the 150th birthday of Manitoba. We were supposed to, there's a number of those shows that we've had to postpone. So hopefully we're going to be able to get those in within the next year or so.
Well, hopefully. That's one of those things that last year when this whole lockdown thing started, I mean, we had the big question of, if I don't celebrate my birthday this year, did I get 1 year older? So maybe Manitoba will be 150, you know, again.
Yes, I'm paused.
As we look at aging that way, maybe.
We've all become collective Rip Van Winkle, you know? So we just put everything on pause. It's just a big gap.
Our younger audience can Google that. Absolutely. All right. So, and your website and social media, I guess, is where people can stay up to date with those dates if they change or when things happen, right?
Yeah. The website, social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So, Facebook. And, you know, they can get on there and they'll see what's going on.
We met 2009. It meant a lot to me to do a red carpet and interview, you know, iconic Canadians. And the fact that you're coming back, it's a full circle moment for me. So thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, my pleasure, Jeremy. And best of luck in whatever you, you know, continue doing, hopefully in broadcasting and journalism, because you're good, damn good at it. These are wonderful questions. It's always great talking to you, buddy. And hopefully we'll do more of it down the line.
Down the highway. Let's do that. Let's have that rally and let's just rip down that road. We're gonna break a speed limit or two.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. All right, thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a good-